Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I tell you, I am so excited that you have joined me on today. I want you to grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home as we're looking at another wonderful lesson on today. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to tremendously bless you on today. And so on today, we're going to be looking at personal discipline, and we're going to be looking at several passages of scripture. Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse 32, and then also the book of Daniel chapter number 1 and verses number 1 through verse number 8. And so let's prepare our hearts and mind to receive what the word of the Lord says for us today. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. God, we take authority over this airline, and we declare, God, the airways, Father, that this word will be clear, that, Lord, clarity to be received of your word today. Father, that a fool need not err, break up every fallow ground, that the seed may be able to supernatural germinate quickly, turn around in their life, Father. And God, we thank you from the glory of our Father. Father, we give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we're going to look at today about personal discipline. Now, the presence of discipline, personal discipline, always lead us into a deeper walk with God. Now, the absence of spiritual discipline life, it will lead to yielding to temptation. So we must recognize that we must walk deeper into our relationship with God. Now, let's look at our Proverbs 25. That's another scripture in verse 28. It said, he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And I'll read that again. Proverbs 25 and 28 says, he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, our lesson scripture text will come from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, and then over in the book of Daniel chapter 1. And Proverbs 16:32 states, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord given Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessel of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and brought the vessel into the treasure house of his God. And to break down, and said, and the king spake unto Hasbanah, the master of his eunuch, and that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the prince, children in whom were no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongues of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, we're just going to jump down to verse 8, and it says, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Let us read further of our lesson. In any series of lessons concerning holiness, we must consider the whole role also of personal discipline in the development of our spiritual maturity. How appropriate such a study is today. One of the characteristics that has assigned to the age of the baby boomers and the baby buster is that a lack of personal discipline and commitment. Now, it is interesting that the word discipline and disciple from the same root word. If a person is a disciple of Jesus Christ, he will exercise the discipline of Christ in their own life. And the word discipline appears only once in the King James Version, and in that place it means correction. And you'll find that over in Job chapter 36 and verse 10. However, the principle of discipline and discipleship occur many times throughout the New Testament. Let's take a look at Daniel's temptation. There is a distinction between temptation and trial. Temptation is a drawing towards sin, and if a person yields to temptation, he sins. If he fails to repent of sin, he will be lost. Now, trials, on the other hand, is a situation sent or allowed by God to increase our faith in him, to reveal the glory and the grace of God, to strengthen and renew our commitment to God's service. Now, some of the things that happened to Daniel were evidently motivated by Satan with a view towards enticing Daniel to reject God. However, God used them as trials and tests to prove to Daniel, Satan, and even the king and the kingdom that Daniel's faith in God made him a chosen vessel for God's service. Now, let's take a look further. Captured Babylon. In approximately 606 B.C., scores of young men were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon to be indoctrinated and trained to assist the Babylonians governing their newly conquered territory. Biblical scholars believe that most of these young men were in their teen years, probably between 12 and 15 years of age. It appeared that most, if not all of them, were from the noble families in Judah. Among those taken were four young men who were to make a tremendous impact upon Babylon because of their personal discipline and their devotion to the God of Israel. Their name was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But the latter three are better known by their Babylonian names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we do not know why Daniel is remembered by his Jewish name. These young men were probably teenagers when they were subject to the trials of their lives. By their behavior in Babylon, we know that they have been taught about the one true God and that their faith in God was strong enough to withstand the powerful temptation they encounter far away from home, family, friends, and the place of their religion. Their experience in Babylon reminded us that youth can make a difference in today's world when we teach them the principles of the scripture and they commit themselves to them in faith. Now let's look at the special privilege that became a temptation. Babylonian training includes Babylonian psychology, philosophy, religion, magic, astronomy, science, and medicine. To name just a few of the subjects, it was an in-depth program that took approximately 3 years to cover. These were three basic parts of the indoctrination and adaptation process. They were taught human wisdom, not all of which was bad. Number two, they were given heathen names, which did not change their hearts or their heritage. Number three, They were to be fed food contrary to the law of Moses, which were where they blanked and politely refused. Now, further, when we look here, those things which were have been planned by Nebuchadnezzar for the reorientation of these Jewish boys came a vehicle by which they proved their allegiance to God of Israel and turned the tithes in the nation of Babylon towards the one and true God. Now let's look at Daniel's determination. When he discerned what was transpiring, Daniel determined not to violate the word of God and his commitment to Daniel. However, rather than becoming confrontational with the superior, he appeared to and reasoned with them concerning his dilemma. Now let's take a look at the influence of Jerusalem. Where did Daniel get the insight and fortitude to withstand an alien king and his representative? He had lived only a few short years in his homeland, and some of those had been times when he was not cognitive of what was happening around him. However, as was the Jewish custom, his instruction in the way of God began early in life on the lap of his mother, at the knees of his father, and at the feet of the priest. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they is old, he would not depart from it, Proverbs 22 and 6. The principle of this proverb is portrayed in many lives in the Old Testament. One such example is Moses, who decided to suffer with the children of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. Another was Daniel, or David, who was approximately at age of 16 when he killed Goliath because he believed in the cause. Although Daniel had only a few years at home, his whole life was affected, and thereby he influenced an entire nation and a pagan king. Now let's take a look. Daniel, the practice of prayer. From his early year, Daniel learned the value of consistent prayer time. The most powerful example of his commitment to prayer is portrayed in Daniel 6. Certain schemers persuaded King Darius to make a decree that no person was to petition in prayer at any god except the king for 30 days. Daniel 6, verses 10. Daily prayer was a vital part of Daniel's life. Even the threat of the lion den could not deter this young man. Daniel 6 and 10 said, "Now when Daniel knew what was written was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did a fourth time." Now let's take a look. Support and responsibilities of peers. Peer pressure is one of the most powerful influence on people of any age, particularly on young people. Daniel and his three friends were not only young men in Babylon, but they were not the only Jewish or Hebrew boys that were being trained either. There were probably hundreds and possibly thousands of similar young Hebrew men in the nation. Just how they handled the challenge of Babylonian culture is not reported in Scripture. Possibly others did not bow down to the pagan authority as well. Perhaps many yield to the enticement of the heathen nation and people. However, Daniel and his friend not only resisted the temptation to compromise, but they also survived with a great victory for God. It is significant that Daniel handled his delicate situation in captivity with tact and respect. He chose to appeal rather than to rebel against the authority over him. Even in Babylon, a person's attitude and manner of appeal often carry as much weight in dealing with spiritual matter as it does the accuracy of his doctrine. It is possible to win an argument but still lose a soul. Now, Daniel reward. It has often been said that nothing of value comes without a price. The determination of God to persevere, Daniel caused Daniel to endure such severe testing. However, the scripture reminds us that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Concentration to God and commitment to personal discipline will be rewarded today as it was in Daniel's from God. Daniel's determination to remain true and not violate the dietary law of Hebrew brought the favor of God upon him and his friends. When they were evaluated by the supervisor, it was found that among them all was found none like Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. God honored the young men with favor, blessing, and health. Now, many times we look for blessing. Let us live in such a way that God will honor us with favor and blessing as well as health. Wow, what a blessing. Let's look at the reward from the king. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, communed with Daniel and his friend, he was amazed at the wisdom and understanding. Even in their youth, they surpassed the understanding of the Babylonian wise men. In fact, the king found them to be 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. On this basis, they were permitted to stand before the king. In other words, they graduated at the top of the class and were granted position of favor and service to the king. Daniel remained in high governmental position until the time of Cyrus, a Persian monarch who ruled over Babylon from about 539 to 530 BC. His life shows the commitment made to God in private and lived out in a daily life will be recognized and rewarded publicly. Now, can I say that again? Because this is critical, is that his life showed that the commitment made to God in private, lived out daily, life will recognize and be rewarded publicly. Now, our admonition for personal discipline. Now, the book of Proverbs instructs us concerning the value of self-control and discipline. A person who takes no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls, Proverbs 25:28. Walls represent protection and defense, and when they are gone, the city or the person is left vulnerable to any and all onslaught and attacks from whatever enemies approach. Now, the value of personal discipline, most people have more trouble with self than with Satan. We often blame the devil for making us do that which we really already decided and determined to do. Jesus taught us to deny ourselves and to bear our cross of conflict, trials, and temptation. Paul wrote that he suffered a thorn in his flesh, which identified a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Now, he also wrote, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection," 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now, although we are saved by grace, we have the responsibility to align our living with our position in Christ. Taking charge over our fleshly nature in part of the process of practical sanctification, where there is no order, there is hierarchy. Whether it is in a nation or in a life, discipline is the key to order in our daily life and spiritual life, and that's critical for us to recognize and understand. Now, let's look further, the need for prayer. Much effort has been expended by so many people to learn so much about prayer, but merely learning about prayer without praying is without value. What we need is determination and discipline to pray. In response to the question, why pray, Dr. John MacArthur listed the following reasons. Number one, it's commanded to pray. Number two, it's a sin not to pray. Number three, it gives glory to God. And number four, it lines us up with God's purposes. And number four, it results in the answer to our needs. Now, it is important to consider the important vital role that prayer fulfilled in our lives, of even in the life of Jesus, his disciples, and the early church. In the gospel, we read of Jesus praying alone at night, in public before thousands, and in the company of his disciples. Some of his prayers are recorded, and he gave us the Lord's Prayer as a model prayer. Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. Peter prayed on the housetop in Joppa when he visited the home of Simeon the Tanner, Acts 10, and he prayed before he raised Dorcas from the dead. And then also he prayed, Paul prayed in Damascus during the 3 days he waited for an answer from God, Acts 9. He prayed when the elders from Ephesus, and he also prayed on the ship in the storm in Acts 27. The Apostle John apparently in prayer on the Lord's Day on the Isle of Patmos when God gave him a vision of the end times in Revelation 1. In Acts chapter 4, chapter 12 and 13, we read of the church praying and of the results as well. Now let's take a look at the need for Bible study. When Daniel was confronted with the close choosing the proper conduct of his life, he predicted his decision on the understanding of the law of God. This knowledge resulted from instruction he received as a child and perhaps from personal inquiry and study. Too many Christians like to be spoon-fed the Word of God and glean tidbits from casual visiting the Word of God. However, if there is ever been a time when the people of God needed personally to know the Word of God, it is now. And with so many winds of doctrine blowing and strange fire burning, it behooves each of us to hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Although the word of 2 Timothy 2:15 were penned by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, they are equally applicable to the people today. When the psalmist spoke of a blessed people in Psalm 1, he said that person would delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in day and night. We should never be guilty of casually reading the Word of God. Rather, we should reverently read and study the Word of God, for in it, from it, and through it, we find truth, inspiration, guidance, and many other life-enriching teaching. The word of the Lord is the source of life. You'll find that over in Matthew 4:4. It's the source of truth, John 17:17. It's the source of power, Hebrew 4:12. The source of happiness, Psalms 1. The source of growth, 1 Peter 2:2. The source of ministry, 2 Timothy 2:2. Every doctrine taught by a church or minister, every practice encouraged and everything condemned, and every principle practiced must be based on the Word of God. If a person has not given himself to study the Word of God, then he might not be able to discern between truth and false doctrine. In our study of the Word of God, we should keep in mind a few guidelines. Number one, the scripture do not lie. Number two, the scripture are not contrary when properly understood. Number three, we should consider what is said and what principle is communicated. How does the verse or the passage balance with the rest of the Word of God? What is it saying to me today? The Word of God and prayer are the only offensive weapon listed in the Christian armor, as outlined in Ephesians 6. We need to know the Word of God and know how to use the Word in our warfare against our enemy. The only way for us to be victorious is by a disciplined and systematic study of the Bible. Now let's look at the rewards of personal discipline. A person who practices personal discipline will experience numerous benefits and rewards in his life. There could be many rewards listed here. However, for our consideration, we will look only at four major rewards. let's take a look at these four. Number one is knowledge. An individual who gives himself to prayer, fasting, and the study of the Word of God will benefit from the wealth of knowledge he gains or she gains. First, the person will gain a knowledge of the Word of God. The more they read and study, the more they retain. One of the beauties about retaining the Word of God in our hearts is that not only is it remembered in the mind as knowledge, but it also influences our spirits and make us receptive of the Spirit of God. The Word of God is also written expression of God's will. And so we read and study the Bible. We can get a clear revelation of God's intent in dealing with mankind. The next thing is relationship is another reward. The development of discipline in individual life leads to more open and lasting relationship. This is a true in our relationship with God, because the more time we spend with him and his word, the more we come to know him and the closer we come to him. With the proper alignment of our relationship with God comes greater strength in our relationship and understanding of ourselves. It is when we are in right relationship with God and with ourselves that we have foundation to extend our relationship to others. As we exercise personal control through discipline, other relationships fall into place. Maturity is the next reward. As we develop discipline in our lives and give ourselves to prayer, fasting, and the Word of God, we become more fertile soil for maturing of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, and the light blooms in a climate stimulated and controlled by the Word and the Spirit of God when these are given access and freedom through our discipline and devotion. And finally, ministry. For the soul of our knowledge, our proper relationship, and our maturity will blossom in ministry that will bring glory to God and service to his kingdom. Ministry is to be the goal of every activity and program, to bring glory to God, to edify his body, to evangelize the lost, are the ideal objectives of all the effort and program engaged in by the members of the body of Christ. Now, the discipline in life is like tightening of the string on a violin, like the tuning of an automobile's engine, like the refining of gold. Man without discipline is like a city without walls or like an unkept garden. God established order out of chaos at creation and put order into the universe. He intended for man to live a life of order and discipline that would lead to happiness and effective service. With discipline, prayer, fasting, Bible study, and faithfulness to our local church, in attendance and finance, a person put order into his life. Moreover, he received a favor of God and the opportunity to minister to the Lord, to his body, and to the church. God knows his master plan for us and for the world as a whole, and as we submit to him in personal commitment and personal discipline, we can identify that purpose and fulfill it to the glory of God. It is amazing what happens when a life is submitted to the hand of the master. We can make beautiful music with our life as he did with Daniel, but we must give him our life. Like Daniel, we should take our position in life with uncompromising character based on the principle of the Word of God. My God, my God. Personal discipline, as we yield over to God, is going to bring forth great fruit, and that's knowledge, relationship, maturity, and ministry. So let us continue to discipline. Will be the key to the order in our daily life, in our spiritual life, as we strive to live daily before the Lord our God. Gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson. We thank you, oh God. Let us strive, Lord. Help us to live a personal, disciplined life, Father, as never before. Let us continue to bring glory and honor to your wonderful name. And Father, we'll praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. So until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer. Bye-bye.